This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Zeroing in. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Friday, October 26. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Investigators say some of the suspicious packages mailed to notable Democrats came from Florida. We'll update the search for suspects.
We may learn more today from the Department of Homeland Security about a plan to block ports of entry to migrants.
President Trump is offering a proposal that would lower the cost of Medicare drugs. Hear how it would work in about 2 minutes.
And how young is too young? Parents giving credit cards to their kids when they're in elementary school.
More than half of Americans with kids under 18 have let their kids borrow their credit or debit card to buy something online. And nearly half of those people just regret doing it. A lot of parents, too, actually give their kids a credit card. So one in five parents with kids ages 8 to 14, say their kid has a credit card.
Katie Hill at Moneyish.com on handing over credit cards to children too soon. She's here in about 20 minutes. Investigators trying to find the terrorists responsible for 10 suspicious packages addressed to outspoken critics of President Trump have zeroed in on Florida and New York. Federal officials yesterday said at least some of the packages were sent from Florida, and it appears that most went through the postal system. Yesterday, three more packages were found, two addressed to former Vice President Joe Biden in Delaware, and one to actor Robert De Niro in New York City. FBI Assistant Director in Charge William Sweeney.
We continue to advise the American public to remain vigilant, as it does remain possible further packages have been or could be mailed.
It's not clear if the packages were operational as explosive devices. Investigators are hoping to find fingerprints on things like stamps or packing tape. At the White House, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders denied suggestions that Mr. Trump's attacks on political foes have inflamed voters. Meanwhile, Mr. De Niro at the Tony Awards earlier this year walked on stage and said, "I'm going to say one thing, F Trump." The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the Trump administration is considering a plan to block ports of entry to migrants, including asylum seekers, on the U.S.-Mexico border. We could learn more today. Here's more now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
A White House official told the Journal that a wide range of options are under review to address illegal immigration, but with no specifics or time frame. The report says Homeland Security officials are also updating decades-old plans to deal with mass migration. The consideration comes as a caravan of thousands of mostly Honduran migrants moves north from Mexico toward the U.S. border. Closing busy ports of entry along the Mexican border could slow the flow of goods, damaging the U.S. economy. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Earlier yesterday, Mr. Trump tweeted, "To those in the caravan, turn around. We are not letting people into the United States illegally. Go back to your country, and if you want, apply for citizenship like millions of others are doing." President Trump is offering a plan to lower the price Medicare pays for some drugs, a move that could save taxpayers billions of dollars. The approach would test a plan to lower costs for some drugs over 5 years by basing them on their costs in other countries. The proposal wouldn't likely go into effect until late 2019 or perhaps 2020 and would cover only some drugs in Medicare.
The world reaps the benefits of American genius and innovation while American citizens, and especially our great seniors who are hit the hardest, pick up the tab, but no longer.
The pharmaceutical industry says it relies on U.S. spending on its drugs to fuel innovation and research. In Europe, governments directly or indirectly control their costs. The changes would only apply to some drugs in Medicare's outpatient program known as Part B. Medicare, by the way, spent $28 billion on drugs used in Part B in 2016, up 59% from 2011. The experiment would reduce spending by about 30%. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Good Friday to you. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples keeps your business moving with a huge selection of ink and toner, always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples printing event this month, the prices are even lower. Staples. Suspicious things to watch for at work include packages, people, and potential safety concerns. In the wake of suspicious packages mailed to prominent Democrats, we're joined now by Robert Sollers, workplace safety consultant and author of several books, including One is Too Many, a training manual on the prevention of workplace violence. He's based in Phoenix. Robert, what was your reaction when you heard about the packages?
Well, I thought realistically that the current political climate was eventually going to lead to something like this. Because of the rancor that we've had over the past election, the rancor coming up over the current election, and the fact that people just are not willing to listen to the other side. It's either you're right or you're wrong. And it doesn't matter which side, obviously. So,
and we've had this before, right? I mean, was it ricin that was mailed, I don't know, a few years back?
Yeah, I think it was just before in 2016, before the election, and then in early 2017, we had a series of ricin being mailed to people. And ricin seemed to be the mail of choice for more than a couple of years, because if you'll remember, right after 9/11, I think there were some that were being mailed out too. And then here, probably 5-6 years ago, there was a bunch, and that has never really calmed down.
So what do you do? I mean, how do you protect yourself if you think you might be targeted in some way, shape, or form with something suspicious in the mail?
Well, the first thing you need to do is look at the package or envelope or whatever it is you're going to get in the mail or by delivery service, and see who is sending it to you. If you're not expecting a package from that individual, then you probably should call them, text them, email, whatever the case may be, and say, hey, did you send me a package of something? And if they say no, then there is a definite sign that something's wrong. With the packages that have been mailed to CNN and all these political figures, you know, the name, the return address was wrong. Her name was Debbie Wasserman Schultz, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Whoever sent them spelled her name wrong.
Right, right.
And I don't think she's going to spell her own name wrong when she's sending packages to people.
We're speaking with Robert Sollers, workplace safety expert. He's also author of a training manual on the prevention of workplace violence. It's called One Too Many, and we're discussing these suspicious packages that have been mailed out. You said, too, just pay attention to the delivery person. If it's not the same person, you might want to raise a flag of caution.
Right. Now, and obviously, you know, the package delivery services and so on are going to have different people from time to time coming in. But it has been my experience in the past that the delivery people coming into office buildings, manufacturing plants or whatever, are generally the same person day after day after day, unless that person is on vacation. If they come in and it's a different person, you know, just ask them, hey, you know, where's such and such? You know, if they say he's on vacation or she's on vacation, then, you know, there may not be anything to worry about. But if they come in and they say, here, sign for this, I got to go, got to go, got to go.
Yeah.
Then there could be an issue with that because they're trying to get out of the building as fast as they possibly can.
All right. These days, most of us are in this see something, say something mode, hopefully. Right. But if there's something that, I don't know, just strikes you as odd, what do you do? I mean, you call 911 right away. Do you alert building security? What's the protocol?
Well, I would more than likely call your security department first or whoever happens to be in charge of security. I mean, if you're in an office in a large office building, you may not have a dedicated security team there. So call your HR person first and let them make the decision to call. If you're working in a manufacturing plant, then you'll want to call the security there, and more than likely they're going to tell you to call 911. And most of the time the police are not going to be too concerned if it's just a false alarm for a suspicious package, because they have their x-ray machines and all types of other devices that can help them see whether or not it's suspicious or not.
Thanks, Robert. Robert Sollers, workplace safety consultant. Again, one of his books is called One is Too Many. It's 19 minutes now after the hour. This portion of the program is brought to you by Brooklinen. Brooklinen Sheets, named the winner of the Best of Online Bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen was started by a husband and wife team who didn't think it should be so difficult and expensive to get quality sheets at home. Their mission? Bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. They're luxury sheets without the luxury markup. And Brooklinen sheets don't just feel great, they look great too. We've got them in our house. Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable sheets. And right now, brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code DEAL at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee plus a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code DEAL at brooklinen.com. And that's B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N, brooklinen.com with the promo code DEAL. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Again, brooklinen.com, and then use the promo code DEAL. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, from politicians to private individuals, increasing incivility in political discourse has been raised as a possible cause for this week's spate of explosives sent to high-profile Democrats, hours after two letter bombs addressed to him were intercepted at different Delaware postal facilities. Former Vice President Joe Biden addressed the issue in a speech in Buffalo, New York last night.
This division, this hatred, this ugliness, it has to end. Words matter.
White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders defended President Trump's tweet yesterday that blamed the media for the political climate.
The president's condemned violence in all forms, has done that since day one, will continue to do that, but certainly feels that everyone has a role to play.
The FBI has searched the Opa-locka mail facility near Miami, scrutinizing video and deploying bomb-sniffing dogs in its search for the source of the suspected explosive packages. The Department of Defense is expected to send 800 additional troops to the southern border to add fencing and walls. It's President Trump's intention to secure potential crossing points as a caravan of Central American migrants more than 1,000 miles away travels through Mexico toward the U.S. Other industrialized countries pay much less for many prescription drugs than America does, and President Trump calls it global freeloading. His administration's proposing a rule to base Medicare's payment rates on those international prices.
The world reaps the benefits of American genius and innovation, while American citizens, and especially our great seniors who are hit the hardest, pick up the tab. But no longer.
It would cover most of the drugs in Medicare's Part B. An update to the U.S. Geological Survey National Volcano Threat Assessment says 18 volcanoes in the U.S. pose a very high risk that large eruptions from any of them could cause national or regional scale disasters. Four are in Oregon, four in Washington, three in California, and seven in Hawaii, including this year's suburb-devouring Kilauea. Workers at a Philadelphia area Goodwill found historic treasure in the donation bin. Framed pages from an original 1774 newspaper with the iconic Unite or Die snake design credited to Benjamin Franklin on the masthead. The pages include three items signed by John Hancock pleading for the colonies to fight back against enemies trying to divide them. It's worth as much as $16,000.
It worked out all right, didn't it?
Oh, man, don't sneer at Goodwill, huh?
Man.
Treasure in there.
It's good stuff. 16 grand, not bad. You know, Hancock and Franklin are... had a pretty good thing going. Turned out okay.
Yeah, they're sort of famous.
More than half of Americans with kids under 18 have let their kids borrow their credit or debit card to buy something online. According to research released by CompareCards.com, many regret that move. Here's Katie Hill, editor at Moneyish.com. Katie, what are we learning?
So most parents let their kids borrow the credit card. Some people are actually giving their kids as young as 8 credit cards. So there's a lot going on here.
Boy, they regret it. Why? Because do they find that the kids do not equate, I don't know, like a plastic with cash, and therefore
yes.
It seems like they're not spending money?
In a way, or they don't spend it responsibly, or they buy, you know, something they're not supposed to, you know, unless you're closely monitoring and sitting there, you know, watching your kid do it. They're like, oh, look at this. Right, it's a piece of plastic. It doesn't feel like they might just not fully realize, oh, you know, mom goes to work all day long to earn money that lets us spend on this. And so I think they regret it because they feel like their kids are going to be more responsible than their kids actually are.
Boy. 8, 9-year-olds, even 10 to 12.
13% of 8 to 9-year-olds have a credit card with this T. Rowe Price survey showed. I mean,
wow.
that's more than 1 in 10.
Yeah.
That's significant.
Not in my house. I mean, that's just
not
a no.
Not going to happen, right.
Is that something to brag about? Like, why would you do that? That's not what my parents did.
I think they do it for ease. Like they know, here's a credit card. You know, if you ever get in a bind, go ahead and use it. And when you think about that, you're like, oh, that actually does make sense. But yeah, I mean, the problem, of course, is that a lot of kids are not prepared to spend responsibly on it. And so the parents end up regretting doing that.
Boy. So, I mean, is there a proper age? What are the general rules of thumb here?
Well, there's almost no reason an 8-year-old needs a credit card. That's what the experts told me. So probably not that. I mean, there's not a perfect age, right? It kind of depends on the maturity of your kid. But the later teen years are pretty appropriate for giving your kids a card if they're responsible. You know, and look at them. When they go shopping with you, what do they do? How do they behave with their allowance? There's a lot of signals that would let you know that this child is able to handle a credit card and this one maybe not.
Speaking with Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com, about her piece entitled 1 in 10 Parents Now Give Their Elementary School Kids a Credit Card. How do you be, I guess these lessons have to come from home. They're not coming from school at that age, probably, if at
They're,
all, ever.
Yeah.
But what,
I mean,
how do you
school
begin?
Often doesn't teach anything
yeah.
about this, right? And so this is definitely coming from you. I think a big thing you got to do, you got to set spending limits. If you're going to give them a card or let them borrow the card, you got to set strict spending limits. And if you're going to give them a card, it honestly might be a good idea at first to get a secured credit card or a prepaid card or something like that. That way they can only spend so much. I mean, you hope your kid isn't going to go on a spending spree, but, you know, if you're at all worried about it, take baby steps like, oh, here's a prepaid card. You know, this is for you to buy, you know, X, Y, and Z for the next 2 weeks. See how they handle that.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Cozy Earth is the world's foremost source of luxury, quality, and authentic bamboo bedding. Their sheets, blankets, comforters, and pillows are way softer than even the highest thread count luxury cotton you'll find elsewhere. And Cozy Earth sleeps 50% less humid and degrees cooler. That's because we sweat while we sleep, which is why you weigh less in the morning than at night. Cotton and poly bedding locks in that moisture like a Dutch oven. Cozy Earth premium bamboo bedding wicks it away, so you sleep cooler. It's amazing. So if you're having night sweats or hot flashes, you've got to try Cozy Earth. Or even if you just want to experience the best night's sleep of your life every single night of the week. Tell you what, go to CozyEarth.com and enter the promo code DEAL to get $50 off your first order and free shipping. Try it for 30 days. If you don't love it, return it for a full refund. Come on, you deserve a great night's sleep every night. Get it at CozyEarth.com. Don't forget to use the promo code DEAL. Again, CozyEarth.com and the promo code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday, October 26th. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Investigation into suspicious packages in the mail zeroes in on Florida and New York. The U.S. may block ports of entry to migrants. The lawyer for Stormy Daniels, who's toying with a White House run as a Democrat, told Time magazine that the 2020 candidate, quote, better be a white male. iPhone XR hit stores today. Megyn Kelly reportedly out at NBC. World Series resumes tonight, and how a New Jersey man stumbled his way to a piece of a lottery jackpot. That story in about 20 minutes. Phoenix has seen more political ads since Labor Day than any other TV market in the country. Rounding out the top 10 advertising hotspots, Las Vegas, Tucson, Tampa, Minneapolis, Orlando, Denver, L.A., Reno, and Miami, where collectively more than $300 million has been spent since Labor Day on broadcast TV by candidates. It's a story by Ron Hansen, congressional reporter at the Arizona Republic, part of the USA Today network. Ron, give us some numbers.
So Phoenix, the TV market, has had over 41,000 ads on just broadcast television. That doesn't include all the cable channels as well, so it's even worse than it sounds. But we are the number one market in the country, as it turns out, for these political ads. And, you know, as I noted in the story, if you think that it's maybe a little better in Tucson, for example, they're actually number three. They have over 30,000 ads. So Arizona's really kind of getting bombarded now with political messaging.
Boy, and the majority of the ads feature what races?
You know, the Senate race here is really the big one. This is the race between Democrat Kyrsten Sinema and Republican Martha McSally. It's one of the last truly competitive races on the map, it looks like, right now. So this is fiercely fought, well-financed, and has had its share of sort of ugly messaging from both sides, but especially alarmist messages from the McSally allied camps.
All right, those, my layman's observation here, the nasty ones tend to get exhausting after a while. Are folks saying to you that, okay, enough already, can we fast forward the calendar to November 6th?
You know, somebody posted a great tweet on this. They said, you know, I'm practically begging for a car commercial. That, you know, I mean, that's what it's come to. We're just like, we're tired of this. People are like skipping TV. They're just sitting it out for the next couple of weeks. They're tired of this messaging. It is, you know, no surprise, the messages are almost overwhelmingly negative in all the races. The Senate race in particular has been pretty ugly from the start. And, you know, people here have seen it across the board. And for us, this is a little bit different, just in the sense that we are an increasingly politically competitive state. So this is something that, yeah, we've seen politics get ugly before, but it didn't, you know, carpet bomb us this way. Now we are definitely seeing a lot more action on both sides.
Well, we're speaking with Ron Hansen, congressional reporter at the Arizona Republic at azcentral.com. They're part of the USA Today network. He's got a piece about how Phoenix has just been overwhelmed with political ads this election year. You mentioned, too, kind of more broadly, this has been a significantly sharper increase over the last midterm election. Was that the measurement?
Yeah, it's compared to the midterms, even compared to 2016, we're seeing a lot more action than what we're accustomed to. And I think it's, again, a reflection of this state's growing political value on the board. Arizona used to be just a solidly red state. It might still be a red state, but it's a far lighter hue these days. Democrats feel pretty optimistic about their chances in a number of House races. Again, the Senate race is really too close to call. And so we are just, you know, inundated with these ads, overwhelmingly negative, and in a lot of different races, in a lot of different corners of the state.
Can the lower ballot candidates actually get airtime, or are they squeezed out at times by the Senate and governor's race?
You know, I think that they can get on. The fact is that they just don't have as much financial horsepower to do it. So at any price, they would have been relatively low-octane campaigns. You know, we have Democrats running, for example, in each House race. They are challenging. That's new for us, and these are sometimes low-budget affairs. We've even had some Republicans running in places where they don't normally run. Mm. So, you know, they are at least contesting these races. But again, these folks are pretty far away from having TV money in any great quantity.
Anybody saying that the saturation or perhaps consistent negativity can actually work against a candidate? Or is it TV is king and candidates are going with it?
You know, look, people universally hate negative advertising, but the fact is it does sort of help define your opponent, and so people still do it. It still leaves an impression with voters, and the question is whether there's enough there to pull someone down close enough that whatever you might be offering looks more attractive. And that's just kind of the eternal muddle in politics.
Thanks, Ron. Ron Hansen, congressional reporter at the Arizona Republic. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly as well on Twitter, but be prepared for plenty of cynicism and sarcasm. My username is at Gordon Deal. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, I think it goes without saying that Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. No, not Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots head coach. Bill Belichick, a 60-year-old attorney and father of four from Madison, Connecticut, who's running for a probate judge for a pair of small towns.
So he's two syllables.
Right.
The coach is three syllables.
Yes.
This is Belichick.
Yes.
Versus Belichick.
But you see there is a similarity there.
Yes.
Somewhat.
Okay.
According to USA Today, Mr. Belichick says he's no dummy and is well aware that the yard signs bearing his name in New England Patriots colors, which happen to be red, white, and blue, will go over very well in that part of the world. Belichick ran for the same office 4 years ago and lost by just 269 votes, which he jokingly attributes to a lack of a formal endorsement by the five-time Super Bowl winning coach. He says he is often confused with the coach when he campaigns door-to-door and has to set people straight. And while unlikely, Belichick says there's even a chance the two might be related, with both of their fathers being born two towns away, just outside of Pittsburgh.
Mm.
And they're saying somewhere along the line, I guess the spelling of the name might have changed.
Yes.
I mean, it's probably not right. True, but again, makes for a great story, I guess, when he's talking to people door to door.
Ellis Island to blame.
Yes.
For yet another misspelling.
Yes, perhaps.
Or an attempt at spelling it phonetically,
right.
Which they probably tried to do back then.
That is true.
So he lost by 269 votes the first time?
Yes, he did.
Despite trying to ride the Belichick coattails?
I think he's pushing it a lot harder this time around.
Oh.
I think that was the mistake that he thinks that he made as well, is that he didn't push it hard enough, the similarities that time around. And now he's really sort of playing it up. He's like, look, I need every vote I can get. So, you know, if someone goes in there and they accidentally, you know, vote for me because they think it's the coach, then, you know what, I'll take any votes I can get.
Walks around with a Brady jersey on now in court and all that stuff.
Right.
Carries a football. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
By the way, have you seen the clip? I don't know how old it is. I think it was before the Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Where he's at the podium, which he just despises.
Of course.
And somebody asks him, like, hey, is this game, you know, about getting the number one seed? Are you thinking about that? Just thinking about Kansas City.
Yes, just thinking about Kansas City. Yes, yes.
Does this game, coach, have more importance than the other ones? Just thinking about Kansas City.
Yes,
and just that look on his face, like he's in pain talking to the media.
There's nothing he hates more. But then
it fascinates me.
But then people say all the time that when you get him outside of that setting that he's like cracking jokes all the time.
It does seem like it's an act at times.
He's a super fun guy. So, you know, who knows what the real Belichick is.
The one day coach of the Jets.
And sometimes, Gordon, when you see a stray dog in the parking lot of a fast food restaurant, it's a hungry homeless or lost dog that needs a meal. And other times, it's just a gold-digging dog from the neighborhood that likes the taste of burgers over food. The latter is the case in Oklahoma, where a dog has become a viral sensation after her owner caught her sneaking off to a local McDonald's to score free hamburgers. Earlier this week, Betsy Reyes wrote on Facebook that her dog, Princess, had been leaving her home at night and heading to the fast food restaurant. Reyes wrote that Princess is a gold digger that acts like she's a stray so people will feel bad for her and feed her hamburgers. The funny post, complete with a pic of a very guilty-looking princess after being caught in the act, has more than 300,000 reactions and 280,000 shares as of this morning.
Good dog.
Yes.
Smart dog.
There you go.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Hey, glad you're with us. Americans are afraid, and not just about the recent volatility in the stock market. MarketWatch says some 23% of people say lack of emergency savings is the one financial issue that keeps them up at night, followed closely by 22% who say they don't have enough retirement savings. The findings are from the personal finance website, wallethub.com. Other findings, 20% who fear they'll be the victim of some kind of fraud, 19% who worry about losing their job, 9% who fret about losing their health insurance, and 7% who say poor credit is the one thing that keeps them awake at night. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, a federal law enforcement official tells Reuters investigators believe the design and instructions for building the bombs sent to 8 critics of President Trump this week were taken from the internet. The source says details are widely available on websites and in propaganda by Islamic militant groups, including Al-Qaeda and ISIS. FBI Assistant Director in Charge William Sweeney says a nationwide manhunt is underway for the bomb maker.
Right now, the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Forces around the nation are fully engaged on this investigation. We are working quickly to process and analyze relevant information from the suspicious packages recovered over the last few days.
Democratic politicians and supporters have been sent a total of 10 suspicious devices. After plunging more than 600 points in the previous session and wiping out its gains for 2018, the Dow bounced back in a big way Thursday, adding 414 points to go positive for the year. TD Ameritrade Chief Market Strategist J.J. Kinahan warns of more volatility ahead.
So what we've seen over the last couple of weeks is kind of a shifting ground. And as the year goes into the last quarter, everyone trying to figure out where do I want to be for the end of this year and where do I go for next year.
The S&P also back in the black after gaining 55. The FBI is offering a $25,000 reward for information that leads to Jamie Kloss, the 13-year-old Wisconsin girl considered missing and endangered after her parents were found shot and killed in their home last week. 2,000 volunteers explored the 5 square miles of cornfields, prairie, and wooded areas around the Kloss family home in Barron. No new evidence turned up. Megyn Kelly's attorney plans to meet with NBC executives about her status at the Peacock Network. She has a $69 million contract, but outraged viewers and coworkers earlier this week when she questioned on her morning show why wearing blackface with a Halloween costume should be considered racist. And McDonald's is bringing back the McRib. Starting Monday, the beloved sandwich of rib-shaped ground pork slathered in barbecue sauce and onions and pickles will be available for a limited time.
This is very good news. And I think, though, largely an excuse just to have pickles and onions on a sandwich.
Oh, right? It's not that rib-shaped
rib
massive.
Can we just be honest about it?
Uh-huh.
It's about having pickles and onions on anything between slices of bread. Just my opinion.
Nom.
6 minutes now. Nom, nom. 6 minutes in front of the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Would you trade a broken hip for a piece of the lottery? An 87-year-old New Jersey man who fell and broke his hip while walking to buy lottery tickets for Tuesday's massive Mega Millions game ended up a winner thanks to the kindness of an employee at the hospital where he was admitted. NBC Philadelphia says physician's assistants at Jefferson Stratford Hospital in southern New Jersey invited Earl Livingston to join the hospital's lottery pool after he explained where he was headed when he got hurt. As luck would have it, one of the tickets purchased by the group at a nearby convenience store matched 5 numbers and is worth $1 million. That works out to a little more than $7,000 before taxes for each of the 142 participants in that pool. His niece says Mr. Livingston will need hip replacement surgery. There was also a $1 million ticket bought 9 miles away. Meanwhile, as you know, someone who purchased a ticket in South Carolina won the ultimate $1.5 billion prize. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.